All right. Well, it's such a pleasure to be back. It's been at least 4 years since we've been here, and it's good to see some familiar faces, and it's just a pleasure. Thank you, Pastor, for having us back in. And again, my name is Brian. I'm here with my wife, Amanda. She's back there. Can you wave? Hey, there's my wife, Amanda. I'm very thankful for her and all she does for the ministry. And I'm here with our four girls who are somewhere on campus as well. But again, we're missionaries in Zambia, and very excited about all that God's doing, like the video mentioned. And you know, it's just been great. Not so much all that's been done, but just seeing God bring it to pass and to be a part of it is such a blessing. And you know, a few things from the video, just to reemphasize that over the past 2 years that we've been there, God's just done great things, and we've seen Him start a Bible Institute there in the property, seeing Him train nationals. Right now, we have around 30. Leaders and pastors from churches come in for training, and good Bible training, and where they don't get that out there in the bush, and we're the only training that they'll receive. And many of them pastor churches out there, and it's so important to be firmly grounded in the Word of God, to know what you believe, know how to teach it, know how to share it, know how to communicate that to your church so they understand, and to be able to, you know, fend off the crazy doctrines and the false things out there. And So that's been going just beautifully, and even now while I'm here, and we have some nationals there teaching, and they've been invested in, and now they're investing in their own people, and that's such a blessing to see them do that. So that's been exciting, and the Christian school that was mentioned, that's been phenomenal, and that was something that we were not even looking to start. God brought that across our path and put... Yeah, we just kind of sat back, and He's been putting the pieces together on that. He's funded teachers. We've had teams there renovating a building, and I just saw pictures of that this week, and it's just amazing to see there's a building ready for January where we'll see 50, 60, 70 Bush kids coming from all across the Bush come for school, where they'll get a good education, and more importantly, get the Word of God. Amen? You know, like the video mentioned, that, you know, if you reach the children, you can reach Africa. And I know that's the same here in America, but how amazing it's going to be for kids as young as they can walk, and when they're old enough for school, to be taught the Bible and to learn the truths of God's Word and the Gospel and learn what's real. And then there's a God that loves them versus the witchcraft and spiritism they hear right now. So it's so exciting to see that. And these churches we work with on a regular basis, God's doing great things with them. God's using them as they do evangelism through their villages. And they've taken responsibility in their own in the ministry and doing great, great work. Before we got here, the past few months, we saw a church start 2 days away. Out of the ministry, God rose up a missionary of one of our nationals. God called out to go start a church 2 days away at a major lake there in Zambia, and he took his family, moved his family there, and has started a great church. That God's just doing a great work in his life and the people there, an area that had no gospel, totally dark. And he's there doing a mighty work. He has a church now running sometimes 100 people he's preaching to. And it's just amazing to see God just work and just to be able to be a part of it. It's just a blessing. And you know, we've been there 2 years, and God's just done great work. And we'll be heading back in December, and we'll keep plugging on when we get back. I was talking to the Barnhouse today and over the past week about just opportunities just developing there in the country with renovating a building on the property so these teachers can stay in, a community outside the lake I just mentioned, wanting a church, and there's just so many opportunities, so much to do. So I hope you'll continue to pray for Africa, for Zambia, for us, for the Barnhouse family, and for what we're laboring together for there in the country of Zambia. God's just doing a mighty work as He builds infrastructure and a base there. You know, I believe in years to come to send the gospel out through the bush and as a hub of training, training nationals there in those unreached people groups out in the bush. So do keep praying for us. And if you have questions tonight, we'll be out there in the back answering those questions. And we'd love to hear from you. Love for you to stop by, pick up a prayer card if you would as well. And get two. Get one stick in your Bible and get one you can put in the oven. So when you use it, you can remember to think of us when you turn the oven on, because it's so hot in Zambia. You can remember to pray for us there. But I hope you'll do that tonight. Well, if you got your Bibles, if you would open up to the book of 3 John. the book of 3 John, and I want to challenge you briefly. It's not Pastor asked come in. It's challenging the area of missions and hope to do that. Now, as you're turning to 3 John, again, I just want to say thank you for your investment in the ministry over the past, 2 years we've been there, and as we finish the deputation, and just for your faithfulness and praying and giving and just being involved in that, in the video and all we've talked about tonight. You've got a part in that, and it just wouldn't be possible now without churches like you. So thank you for investing in the Lord's work, which is the only thing worth investing in. Amen? You know, the things of this world, you know, you can invest here, but it can be gone tomorrow. And when you invest in God's work, you cannot go wrong. It is impossible when you work where He works. So, again, thank you for what you do and what you have done in Zambia, for your faithfulness. Tonight, I just want to share with you in the book of 3 John, as we talk about missions, I kind of want to take an approach tonight and just for us to think about our attitude toward missions, or more specifically, watch out for attitudes that we might need to have in the era of missions, that we can be all that God wants us to be. But the book of 3 John, in the first several verses there, this is a pretty interesting book here in the end of the Bible here, but the first part of the book, verses 1 through 8 there, John is talking to this guy named Gaius. He's a faithful minister there. He invites people into his home. He's one that loves people. He's one that is always ministering to friends and family and strangers, anyone that comes across his path that needs help. Gaius is someone like that. He just has a ministering heart, and he loves people. And you can read about that in these verses here. And John encourages him and thanks him for it, and what all he does, and his witness and example, and how he ministers to people, and how he cares about people, and the difference that he makes there and around the world for how he cares and loves on people, and that we might be that way as well. And when we do love people, we're fellow helpers to the truth. We're partners with the gospel. Amen? And starting in verse 9, though, I want to talk about an attitude toward missions. You know, in Zambia, something I've realized when we come back to America is all the variety. Amen? All the options. And just the convenience that just blows me away. Where you can go into the supermarket and you can get, you know, 50 kinds of cereal. You know, you can pick what you want. And you know, in Zambia, you've got cornflakes and more cornflakes and more cornflakes down the aisle. And you might see Fruit Loops every now and then, but the variety is pretty slim. You don't find that much. I remember the first time we saw white marshmallows. There, and we're like, oh, white marshmallows, that they sell pink ones there that do not taste like here. We saw white marshmallows, we bought every one on the shelf and took them home, and since then we've seen them more often, but it's those small things, and here you can buy all kinds of marshmallows, and you know, the variety is so amazing, and you know, and the American culture caters to that. It's, you know, it's a culture of convenience and variety, and you know, and ease, and that's what the American culture is a lot like. It's a me-centered culture. And tonight I want to kind of talk to you about our me-centered attitude toward missions here. And in verse 9, John warns the church about a particular person. His name is Diotrephes. And it says that this is a person that loves to have the preeminence among them and doesn't receive people. John's talking about how Gaius needs to receive people and love people and minister to people. But he has an opposer and an enemy in what he's doing. His name is Diotrephes. And he's one, the Bible says, who loves to have the preeminence. And just the first thing tonight I want you to see that it's possible to have a misplaced position. When we think about missions and an attitude, we need to be careful about how we think about missions. And if we're careful, we'll have a misplaced position when it comes to missions. Here it says that Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. He was someone that wanted to be first, and he had a me mentality that it's about me and what I get out of it, and how the church helped him, and he wanted to be first and the most important person there. And you know, as opposed to Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, where Christ says that he's supposed to be and is preeminent in all things. And he should be number one, and not just him, but the way he thinks and the way he works and his heart and his mind, which we have right here. This should be number one in our life and how we live, and it should help us regulate everything we do and how we live our life. And Christ is supposed to be number one, but Jotfi's here. He loved being first, and he put that position out in the church and let people know that was his agenda. Why care for the world? What about my needs? No, that was his attitude. No, Gaius, why do you love people so much? They're such an inconvenience. They get in the way, you know. And he was upset and just ticked off about the money and the resources and efforts that the church was turning toward Gaius and his love of people and how he ministered. And he started to see that that's not how he wanted to run things, and that wasn't his cup of tea there. So we can have a misplaced position when it comes to missions if we have a me-centered mentality. You know, and we need to make sure as we move on, and that this church, we need to have an attitude of Christ first in all that we do, and never get tired of doing the work of the ministry, and never have an attitude that the church exists to serve me. You know, that we sit back and we say, no, how can the church help me today? You know, that was Jotfi's attitude, that he wanted the church to meet his needs and to cater to him, and wanted to be me-centered. You know, but Gaius was one that would say, you know, it needs to be others-centered. You know, and in missions has to be others-centered. You know, and the local church here shouldn't be, and it is not here to serve us, it's here to serve others. You know, because like we said, if Christ is preeminent, then his mind and the way he thinks and how he operates is preeminent in our life. Amen. Are you following me tonight? And Christ is others-centered. Would you agree with that? No, Christ thought about others. No, that's why he came. If you remember that, and as he said, righteous people don't need a physician, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the reason the church is here today. It's not for us. It's to reach the world with the gospel, and here in Cleveland and all around the world. But that can be hindered if we start looking inward instead of outward. And changing the function of the church to what can it do for me? It needs to be what we can do for others. We don't need to say it's all about me, but it should be all about other people. The Christian life is about reaching others. It's not about me. It never is, and it never will be. I can remember when I go into the Bible Institute sometimes early when we got there in Zambia, I'd come in and I have my agenda set. I would come in, I got to teach these classes. I got this I got to do. And the Zambians were quick to put me in my place. I'm like, Pastor, we haven't greeted everybody yet. I was like, what? And I watched it, and they will all get up and they'll all shake each other's hands. And they'll greet each other, every single person in the room, and say, how are you? How are you? How's the family? How's your garden doing? And they'll spend 15, 20, 30 minutes greeting each other. And I'm like, hello, I got other things I gotta do. You know, and it's like, don't you know how everyone's doing? You see them often. but they greeted each other. And I learned a valuable lesson that it isn't all about me. You know, and my agenda and what I wanted to do, it's about people. It's about caring for people, loving people, getting involved in people's lives that they know you care. And that makes the world a difference. Amen? When people know you care. So they taught me and continue to teach me a lot of things. And that was an important part there. But I just want to encourage you tonight here that in the era of missions, if we're not careful, we'll have a misplaced position. We'll start being me-centered and not Christ-centered. And we need to make sure we keep Christ number one and always look for ways to help and minister to people. And secondly here, and I'll bring it to a close, he continues to say here after that in verse 10, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating about us with malicious words and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren and forbiddeth them that would and cast them out of the church. The second thing is, in the area of missions, we might have a misplaced attitude. Not just a misplaced position, but a misplaced attitude. Here it says Diotrephes was one that was a gossiper, one that had a bad attitude, and he was sharing it with others. He would see what Gaius was doing and where the church was going, and would say, no, we don't need to put our resources to that. We need to look toward us. And he would talk about them and say mean and ugly things and sow discord and division in the church because the church was doing something that didn't line up with how he was thinking. He made sure everyone was unhappy, and he made sure everyone knew that what Gaius was doing was a mistake. But actually, it turned out that he is the one that is mistaken. We need to make sure tonight that we don't have an attitude that says, that forbids them and casts them out of the church and doesn't receive the brethren of not helping other people. Gaius here is a picture of how the body of Christ should handle the work of the ministry and missions and loving people and being involved in their lives. Diotrephes is a picture of how the body of Christ is not to be when it comes to missions. Missions should never be an inconvenience. You follow me tonight? Now, missions should never be an inconvenience. And Diotrephes here, that's what he was telling. That's what he was telling in the church and causing division. That what Gaius is doing is an inconvenience to people that he's working with, everyone that he's seeing and helping and ministering with, where they're sending their time and attention, their money and resources, all funneling that toward Gaius and helping people is an inconvenience. And it's not good. And he made sure he let everybody know that. I just want to challenge you tonight that missions is not an inconvenience. And if we're careful, though, now sometimes we might have an attitude that we'll have misplaced our attitude toward people, that people become an inconvenience. You know, but that's who we're here to reach. We should never look at the ministry and say that we've done enough. Okay? We've invested enough in the world. We've invested enough here in Cleveland. I think that's good. We don't need to do anymore. Let's put resources elsewhere. That was Diotrephes' attitude, and that's not God's attitude. God's attitude is, let's see what more I can do. Let's see how much more help I can offer, how much more resources, more time, more attention, how much more I can funnel toward other people. Because that's what God cares about. Amen? God cares about people. And he blesses the church that cares about people. Not just here, but all around the world. And I'm a little partial to Zambia tonight. And you know, God blesses when people, you know, care about Zambian people. And desires to see God do a work there in the bush of Africa. But the moment that the church says and changes their attitude toward people that enough is enough, I think we're good, then God doesn't bless as he could. You know, tonight, I just want to challenge you to look within your heart and to see if, make sure we don't have a Diotrephes attitude. No, it's easy to get burned out on missions, and it seems like, oh, there's a missionary in every week, or it's time faith promise again, you know. And you know, see, every time we turn around, it's something about outreach and reaching the community and reaching around the world, another missions project, and it can get like that. But you know what? That's what God loves. That's his heartbeat. Amen. That's what cranks his tractor is reaching people. You know, and that's why he's left us here. Whether it's here or in Zambia, we're excited to be part of what God's doing in Zambia, reaching Zambians with the gospel, seeing churches built and people grounded and the ministry developing in otherwise unreached people. But the moment I say enough's enough, And then God shuts down blessings. All the blessings I've talked about tonight, God's just been doing it because people care. And God blesses them. Now tonight, I just challenge you to think and look in your heart tonight. The reason the church exists is to reach people. Amen. And we just need to make sure our attitude stays full-fledged and focused and onward ahead. Keeping Christ preeminent in our life, where He's number one. And when He's number one, people become very important. And if we're not careful, we can misplace Christ in our position and misplace our attitude toward people. That mission should never be an inconvenience. It's God's heartbeat. And it should be the church's as well. You follow me tonight? God loves people. We just need to make sure we still do as well. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. What a great night it would be to make that decision. Pastor?